GQ. Well, Tom, while Andy was talking there, I looked around on the face and on the back of this unit. It's made by Hardened Power Systems. And it has two outlets on the front for 13.8 12 volt, you know, nominal. The two on the front is a 20 amp connection, and the one on the back is a 40 amp connection. So I think it'd be perhaps appropriate to charge the car, or to jump start the car. I don't know. That's a car battery has many more amps than that. So was your device sold as a jump starter?
Yes, sir. That's what my jumper cables away. The other day when that storm hit, I put them back in there for redundancy. But it comes with a plug that has it's kind of a three-prong thing. They're all insulated. And you plug it in, and then you hook it to your battery, and the LCD on it reads out start car, and then you go start the car or truck. My neighbor started his big diesel Cummins truck with it, and I started the Avalon with it one time when I left the lights on at the doctor's office and come out and forgot it, and they didn't time out. They were full on. They're really worth their weight in gold to put one in your car. But they also have outputs for telephone, and they have outputs for USB, and then you can charge them from USB, and they will jump a car. I didn't hardly believe it, but that's what they're sold as. And like I said, Costco's got them. I don't know if Sam's does or not. And I said 2 inches thick. I don't want to get, but an inch thick, about 4 inches wide and maybe a foot long. And it's the greatest thing since pocket on a shirt, as far as I'm concerned. Well, guys, I've just about arrived, and I got to go load up all the pans and dishes and stuff. Maybe I'll catch you on the way home. Bernice is waiting on me about this time. Great hearing you tonight, Larry and Andy. KI4DOS to take. This is N0GR, and I got a couple of blocks to go.
Mistake, that's Jerry's call, but that's fine, you know. KI4LZIDOS, that's Jerry. But we all make mistakes sometimes, so that's fine. KI4LZI, you go ahead and do whatever you need to do, and I'll go ahead and I'll turn it back over to Larry and let Larry tell you. KI4LZI, pick it up, Larry.
Sorry, Larry, I did make a mistake there. It's late, N0GR clip.
You drive home, Tom, and you take care of that sweet wife of yours. She is admired by many. KK4JBQ.
Is that battery you got, it don't have a memory in it, so you're good to go.
Well, true. I've had some battery issues with my vehicle. I've got a battery issue with it right now. And it's because I don't drive the car every day. And you really need to, just for the health of the automobile, you ought to drive it a few miles every day. I don't do that. So it sits there and it sits there. And it served me well for, maybe 3 years. I think car batteries used to last longer. Well, I don't know about all that, but anyway, I need a new one, a fresh one. And I'll get along to that when the time comes. I don't get around like I did when I was a lot younger. I stayed on the road. Of course, back and forth to work, but a lot of my friends were here and there. And I lived alone until Donna and I met, and so I was always traveling to see my friends, you know. And so I kept the roads warmed up. Anyway, but a car to be healthy needs to be used. That's a fact. Yeah, these jumper things, even though this one is appropriate for ham radio as a battery, you know, emergency power. And fortunately, because of those USB connections, they charged up Donna's phone and her watch as well. Traveling with one, with something like Tom's said he got at Costco, that might be a good thing to carry in the car. The only thing I carry in the car, for such a thing as that, is a flashlight. You know, an emergency flashlight. I've been out in the dark. Yeah. Well, back when I was younger and poorer than I am now, just a kid, really. Had my license maybe for a couple years. So I was under 20, let's say. I'll never forget running out of gasoline. And I had my girlfriend in the car, and her girlfriend was in the car with us. And we were, I don't know where we were going. That has completely left my mind, because when the car stopped running, it did so suddenly. It just quit. We rolled to a stop. And, you know, then back in those days, I put $2 worth of gas in the car. This was, the late 60s, early 70s. So I would put $2 worth of gas. And that usually got me where I was going until I had another $2 to spend. Well, tonight, or that night, I didn't. And my girlfriend at the time had a father whose nickname was Bear. And it fit him, because he was a big fella and broad and, you know, three times my size, four times my weight. So I recall the first time I suggested, I think it was me, she wouldn't bring it up to her dad, so I suggested that we have a date in the car. He says he wanted to know what kind of car and so on and so forth. And we didn't cover things like how much gasoline do you normally keep in the car. Well, no, he approached it another way. He said, you will have my daughter here, I mean in the house, at 11 o'clock or sooner, whenever you two go out. You will have her back by 11. Well, you know, the night that the car ran out of gas, I didn't get her back at by 11 o'clock. And I caught it. Oh, boy. I know, since he let me live and let me leave the house, I suppose maybe it had happened to him once or twice in his lifetime, because, you know, here I am talking to you. He had me scared. I mean, seriously. And that's rightly so. You know, this was his only daughter, and you know, you don't trust a precious thing like that to just anybody. I suppose when I left, she campaigned a little bit too. Anyway, enough of that. KK4JBQ.
We done discussed this here other once before, but with these newer cars, and I haven't tested this to find out, but you you was talking about running out of gas, I've had other people tell me that if you do that with these newer cars, you're going to mess up other stuff in the car other than just running out of gas. Well, I experienced it is when the battery went dead and that airbag sensor has been stuck on every day ever since. And I know it's history because I bought it new, but I've been told out about the gas business with these of today. You better be careful about that for serious damage.
I don't let a car... I don't put $2 at a time in the car, or what would it be now? Maybe $10. I don't put $10 worth of gas in the car at a time. I fill the thing off, and, you know, I don't get anywhere near empty. Back in that day, with a car that I think was a 1962 model Chevrolet, best I can recall, if it runs out of gas, it runs out of gas. There wasn't anything electronic except the radio in the car. You'd have to stretch the meaning of electronic. Maybe the coil or something like that. You might stretch it and say, "Well, that's electronic." But really, it was going to start again just as soon as you gave it some gas and cranked on it until the pump got the gas up into the carburetor. Of course, it was a carbureted engine. They were just, cars of that era were different. They were a different animal altogether. Newer cars, and the one I'm driving is, it's about 12 years old now. Has served me well, and will continue to serve me probably for the rest of my life if I can keep it up. Yeah, so I was never a car fanatic. I had friends that were. They had a new car every month. and they worked on them until they got them running, you know. And then they get an irresistible offer from somebody they knew that would pay them five times what they paid for it because they bought it as a junker, you know. But they worked on it, fixed it up, cleaned it up, so on and so forth, and it was now running and purring like a kitten. You know, there were people that just really enjoyed automobiles. I was not one of those people. my dad only had one very old Ford Fairlane, I think it was, and a truck that I learned to drive on. Both of those were manual transmission, you know. And so I think I once saw a Cadillac with a new car sticker in it walking back from school one day. It's parked outside of someone's, parked on the street outside of someone's house, and still had that sticker on it, and I read it, and it was $12,000. And I thought, my goodness, that's fabulous. I never heard of that kind of price for a car. Well, but, you know, it was a Cadillac. And little did I know that, the car that I'm driving right now is twice that when I purchased it new. And cars today are three times that. KK4 JBQ.
In your LTR mode.
Yeah, 4LCI.
Good Larry, watching the red light here. Whoa, I don't want to get over there too close. There we go. On the straightaway now. Down here by Amy's house, south of the airport there at GSP. Andy, that's nickel cadmium battery, and they have memories. And then they went to nickel metal hydride, which was slightly better. And then they went to the best, which was lithium. And then Dave Watson and the guys that fly those drones, they use lithium polymer, which is a rather unstable battery. If you don't do them right, you got to have exactly the right type of chargers. And in fact, those helicopters will have 10 amps in them. It's just amazing and more. But, this is a 2022 Toyota Avalon. It's got everything but the kitchen sink in it. And I put my transmitter in the trunk and the wires under the car up to the battery. My neighbor did it for me because I wasn't able to. And I put them in plastic tubing. And that's the way I did our 2011. It lasted 13 years. And works just fine in this. They're watching this little area of it because this is a hybrid Avalon, but this one is not. It's just a V6. But it's got all the bells and whistles in it, Andy. Go ahead, Larry. Don't seem to bother it.
Nice vehicle. And as far as I know, those are have a lot of safety features on them, too. Donna's talking about a new one, and she drives a Prius right now, a hybrid. And, well, it's in good shape, but she's had it about 4.5, 5 years, I guess. And this is when, as far as I know, hybrid vehicle owners start thinking about a trade-in because, you know, the batteries have wear and tear on them. And replacing the whole set of batteries that this car relies on, this is not the starting battery, this is the running battery, is quite expensive. So that and the allure of all the new safety features that they put on cars, this appeals to Donna. And so she's talking about a new one. And finally she'll come home with one, I guess. And that's how it ought to be, because she's on the road a lot more than I am. She does a great many things for the church. She goes there 6 or 8 times a week, works with the church pantry, works with the handbell choir. She's on the board, the executive board at the church and stuff. You know, she's involved. And so I'm not as involved, and so I get to stay home a lot. That's how it is. KK4 JBQ.
4LZI. Comes to all this, I'm still learning. It's like anything, you know, there's good and bad to it all now. I believe I done mentioned it somewhere, I don't remember. But I saw on TV it might have been just the purely electric and not the hybrids. But there was somebody made the point that due to the weight of these batteries, that when they hit some of these doggone guardrails, they just tear right through them and it don't even begin to phase. Slow them down really much because there's so much weight on them, it just tears through that. You ever see that, Tom?
I haven't heard or read about that, but I can tell you that Toyota is top of the line in they've had the Priuses for many, many years before anybody else ever even touched that idea. I don't see anything wrong with hybrids. Her daughter just bought one. I think it's, a Kia? Or Hyundai? Sounds weird when she backs out of the driveway. It's kind of got a whine. And I worked on CNC machines, and they have the exact same drive as just about on these automobiles. Some of them got one drive motor. Some of them got two. Some of them got four. But at any rate, it's the same technology, and it is very reliable. I almost bought a 2022 Avalon, but it was black, and Bernice didn't want it. They stopped making the Avalon in 2022. So I don't know if I did the right thing or not, Larry. You take a risk when you buy a car anyways. But this one only had 8,750 miles on it. And Consumer's Guide said they're good for over 200,000 or a quarter million, I think they said. But nonetheless, most people don't keep them that long. There's a dead deer out in the middle road here, right in the runway. But I did talk to the technicians at Toyota quite a few years ago, and they said that the ones that had batteries that were anywhere from 10 to 11, 12 years old were just now starting to come in. And they were the guys that worked on them, Larry. KK4JBQ and Zerol TR.
All this talk about electric vehicles reminds me of the first electric vehicle that I ever rode in. It was before there were any others, honestly, that anybody knew about. People were probably working on it. But this fellow was an aircraft engineer, and he had a four-wheel drive mashup kind of vehicle. It was a Volkswagen, as I recall, and it only carried two passengers, only front seats because the back seat was full of machinery. He had electric motors on each wheel, so it was a four-wheel drive vehicle. And I don't know what kind of battery powered the thing. I don't know what its range was. But since nobody that I knew had ever heard of an electric vehicle, an all-electric vehicle, this was kind of special. I was working at a department store at the time, and he was one of my customers. I worked in their camera department, and he bought a few cameras from me. Always came to buy film and get his developed pictures, you know, back in that day. And so we were talking at the counter, and he said, "Would you like to have a little fun?" And you know, this kind of took me by surprise, and I says, "Well, what do you mean?" He says, "Well, it's getting along about lunchtime. When do you take your lunch today?" And he had the vehicle parked out back at the store. And I says, "Well, about 10 minutes. So meet me behind the store." And there he had pulled up right to the curb. He pulled up his mashup kind of vehicle. I call it that because he constructed the thing. And what I recall most about that ride in that vehicle was the torque that those electric motors on every wheel gave that car. When he pressed up, I don't know if it was a foot pedal like gasoline, you know, acceleration, or whether it was a stick. I don't remember that. But he just barely moved that, and the car took off. I mean, right now, car took off. There was no increase in the sound. There was nothing to prepare you for takeoff. And it was a zippy little car. Well, I'm not a mechanic myself, so I thoroughly admired his ingenuity. And this was years and years before, as far as I know, anybody was thinking about putting electric motors in the wheels of automobiles. Yeah, he was an unusual individual. KK4JBQ.
For LZI. Well, this that I'm talking about is a lot of it was fixed, but I remember seeing over the decades where these small VW Beetles, they done all kinds of experimenting with them in one way or another. accidents saw where a real experiment happened with one. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, the electric motors are constant torque, constant horsepower. So you hit it on the head because an internal combustion engine has to make RPMs before it gets up to maximum torque, Larry. And they have a certain spot where they hit that. I don't know if they call that shift point or what, but at any rate, CNC mills for machining parts, they're exactly the same way. They're constant torque, constant horsepower. They're permanent magnet, rare earths, samarium cobalt magnets in them, and they're very expensive. Back in the 80s, a 10 horsepower motor was $3,500. But it was an extreme rarity that they ever went out.
And we didn't talk long enough, and the ride just, you know, it just bowled me over. We didn't talk, you know, I didn't have the background to talk shop and to go around the vehicle, look underneath it, you know, and all that. If I could go back, I would say, what kind of batteries do you use to run these, and how do you recharge those batteries? Hybrids today, Donna's car, and you're right that Toyota has had hybrid vehicles longer than anybody else, and they got it right. They've improved it right along. It's the most reliable hybrid that I'm aware of. But back in that day, and this was the same year, I don't know if either one of you are sports fans enough to nail the year for me, but I recall that the U.S. basketball team had just won the Olympic gold medal in that year's Olympics. Someone announced it over the intercom in the store, and there was a big big uproar in the store. Everybody, customers and employees alike, were following this game, and it was the same year that occurred. Had to be in the early part of the 70s, perhaps. Anyhow, Donna's vehicle is very smooth in takeoff. There's no sweet spot where it starts working at full torque. You know, there's none of that. Perhaps that's its hybrid nature, and I think it feeds energy back into the system upon braking. So that's why a hybrid does not have impressive gas mileage. It does use, you know, a combustion engine as well. It doesn't have good gas mileage on the open road when you're not stopping and going. But in a city, it's phenomenal, you know, like something like 60 miles per gallon. Now, in my vehicle, which is an SUV model, it gets about 24 miles a gallon, and so 60, that's impressive. Toyota does have it right. KK4 JBQ.
Larry, there's no question. They call that regenerative braking, and the brakes do generate back into the batteries to charge them. But I've even considered the Prius, but years ago we got hit by the flying nun, and it wasn't Sally Field either. You guys are old enough to remember that. Unfortunately, this nun was elderly and didn't drive much, and she ran a red light and ran into Bernice's door. I'd actually slowed down from 65 to 55, and it was a 65-mile-an-hour zone. But she just stomped on the throttle and ran right in the side of us. So Bernice always wanted a larger car since then. And when they took it to the guy at the, I'll call it a salvage yard, it wasn't. He said, I said, boy, I wish I'd have been in a Cadillac and maybe it'd survive better. And he said, no. He says, I'm the one that straightens those frames, Tom. And he says, I got to tell you, that Avalon has the stiffest frame in the industry, more so than a Cadillac. So I thank God for that Avalon, and that's the only knock-on-wood wreck we ever been in, other than a teeny-tiny fender bender where a little old lady hit my left fender. But that was scary. Blew both front tires instantly. I went 200 feet down a culvert. Didn't hit anything, thank God. But, I would suggest the Camry Hybrid would be an excellent choice, Larry. They've got it right with that Camry. It lasts forever. And the Hybrid's been around almost as long as the Prius has. Go ahead.
I'm just curious about something. All these small and compact cars, they don't put frames under them anymore, unless I'm missing something. They ain't done that in, what, 50-some years when it comes to... There ain't no such thing as a frame under just an average small car this day and time, unless they're pretty good size. KI4LZI, go ahead, Larry.
Admit some ignorance as to what kind of framework is in modern day automobiles. I do know the skin on an automobile is no longer the metal that used to protect you. Even the bumpers. I've had a bumper protect me when somebody struck me from the rear. I had one lady strafe me as she T-boned. I mean, she was traveling at a fast rate of speed. and she T-boned me and glanced off, so she strafed the whole side of the car. And it was all metal. And it was Chevrolet, and their Impala model. It was first time I'd ever heard this expression in describing a car, he called that car a cream puff. And, he was attached to it. So, anyhow, I hated that happened. And the cop that investigated the accident, he says, I don't really want to give you this ticket, but I can't give her the ticket. He never explained why he couldn't give her the ticket. That's the only time I've been hit that it could have been a very different story had I not been moving at the time. I was moving, she was moving, and that's best. If you're sitting still, got your brake pedal on, you know, you take all of the energy impact if you're hitting the side. If you're moving, it kind of distributes the damage along the side of the car. It was a mess, that car was. Anyhow, fellas, it's past 10 o'clock here. I'm going to sign with you. I just really appreciate both of you being there to chat with for a little bit. And I have to say before I end this, wasn't it marvelous to hear Dave Watson call the net tonight? I'm sure I'm not the only one, have been concerned about Dave and his well-being for months. And modern medical science is a miracle, and we all benefit from that if we have to take advantage of it. But we are marvelously made also, I have to say that, too. But it was really good to hear Dave. Good to hear Sid also. I'm kind of in a habit of listening to his net. I've missed it maybe a couple of weeks now. And he had some... he had troubles in his shack. Not sure what they might have been, but that kept him off the air. But he's all better now, and I trust that tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, up there in Hendersonville, he'll be running the net, and I'll be there. Both of y'all take a take time to get some good rest tonight. And it was great talking with you. This is KK4JBQ. Back to everybody out there. 7-3.
Okay, Nye. Nice to hear you tonight. And yes, it was good. And it's nothing to brag about, but I went through 6 months of chemotherapy back, around the year 2000, wasn't it, Bernice? And I had to take shots in the stomach and take these pills, and they put me on suicide watch, which was, I didn't need it, but that's how bad that junk was. If they deleted alpha interferon, back then it was $34,000. So it sure hadn't been any party for Dave. I feel for him. But I hope he's all right and wish him well. And he's such a great guy. It's great to hear him on there. Andy, I got to go, too. I just pulled in the driveway. Pleasure's all mine, John. And we'll catch you down the line. KI4LZI to take it. N0GR, clear with your final.
Yeah, it's good to hear Dave back. For the longest time, I didn't realize that when he brings up the thing about the bulletin board until Gary told me that was a recorded message that come on at 7:30 evening in the evening on the repeater here. Gary told me it was recording, and then I realized, well, he ain't actually alive here. Obviously, he's coming through, and that's good that he is. And as far as the cars goes, Tom, you got to be driving big monster vehicles or trucks and things like that. I always assume to have a good frame under it. Here in, say, the past, let's say, 40 years, 35, 40 years, something like that. I didn't think they even put a frame under these small vehicles today. That went out with fuel economy decades ago. So, KI4LZI, clear.